A brief commercial message before you see your video. Creating a so-called Palestinian state would be national suicide for Israel. First, there has never been a Palestinian people. The terms Palestine and Palestinian have no historic validity. Israel is surrounded by 22 hostile Arab Muslim countries with over 640 times the size of land than that of the tiny Jewish state. If the Jews surrender Judea and Samaria, Israel will be only 6 to 9 miles wide. If you agree that Israel must never retreat to such suicidal borders, then join the Jewish Task Force, JTF. You don't have to be Jewish to join. The link to join is below.
Shalom. Welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mitman, and to elevating the souls of Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Robert Mitman. We have two subjects that we want to talk about on this week's program. The first is how the Netanyahu, Bennett, Lieberman, Deri regime in Israel, the government in Israel, is trying to legitimize the reform and conservative assimilationist movements and trying to destroy Judaism in Israel. We're going to discuss the whole process of the terrible things that they're doing and why it's so important that no Jew or righteous Gentile ever support the parties that are in power now in Israel. And we're going to explain what the alternative is, but we should never support the parties that are in power in Israel because they are only doing harm to the Jewish people. And the second thing we want to talk about, I have to show you some of the stats, some more of the stats for our Hebrew videos, our JTF Hebrew videos in Israel. I'm going to show you stats. I hope it comes out okay. I hope it's going to look okay in this video. But I'm going to show you the stats for just 9 recent Hebrew videos. And you'll see are getting between 4,000 and 9,000 views on 9 recent Hebrew videos. But I want to show it to you. I want you to see it with your own eyes from YouTube. And this is just a sample of what we're doing and how we're reaching people. Because we're very, very happy with the fact that our Hebrew movement at least is making progress. Of course, we want to do much more, and much more must be done. But we're happy at least, thank God, that some progress is being made, and we want to share that with our English language supporters and our English language viewers. First, let's start off with Israel and the deformed movement. The reform, conservative, and reconstructionist movements in the United States were movements that came into being actually in Germany in the 19th century. And the objective of these movements was to give Jews an opportunity to claim that they're still Jewish, even though they're abandoning the Torah and abandoning Judaism, abandoning all the mitzvot and abandoning Judaism. The Reform movement, for instance, in Germany, ended circumcision. You didn't have to be circumcised anymore to be a Jew. They changed Shabbat, the Sabbath, to Sunday. They, of course, supported intermarriage and all the other things that have destroyed the Jewish people. The founders of these movements, of the Reform, Conservative, and Reconstructionist movements, the founders of these assimilationist movements, who said that what they were doing would be enabling Judaism to continue, because they said Orthodox Judaism, it's too much for some Jews, and so we're giving them something less, and this enables them to continue to be Jewish. That never works. That never works. It's the worst remedy possible. The founders of this movement, their children all left Judaism. Their children either committed suicide or converted to Christianity or left for some other crazy thing. But none of their children remained Jewish. None of them. And their followers, the same story. People who are part of these movements, people who join these movements, either they or their children leave Judaism eventually. In fact, they don't realize it, but if they're joining these movements, they've already left. And we see the devastating consequences in the United States. 90% of American Jews are not Jewish. Now, that doesn't mean they can't return to Judaism. They can be Baalei Tshuva. They can return to their Jewish roots. But right now, 90% of Jews in America, number one, know nothing about Judaism, are not interested in Judaism. They're ashamed to be Jewish. They're self-hating Jews. They do not support Israel. They, when they, when even, even when they go to vote in an American election, which is the least you could do for Israel, and that's such a small thing, and it's not enough. But even when they go to vote, Israel is not their priority when they vote for candidates for political office in the United States. They don't give a damn about Israel. And in some cases, they vote against candidates that are pro-Israel, just because they're pro-Israel. So these are the worst examples of self-hating, vile, assimilationist Jews. That's what American Jewry has been turned into. And American Jewry is quickly disappearing because of that. 90% of American Jews already are in the disappear mode. I mean, they're disappearing. They're leaving the Jewish faith. Now, in Israel, that is not the situation, thank God, Baruch Hashem. But they want to create that situation. The dream of the self-hating Jews of the left and of the self-hating Jews in Israel and the phony right is to do to Israeli Jews what has been done to American Jews, where the vast majority of American Jews are intermarried. The vast majority of American Jews know nothing about Judaism, are not interested in Judaism, and are self-hating Jews. They want to create that same situation for the 6 million Jews that live in Israel. God forbid, chas v'chalila. And so the Reform Movement has come in and they're making demands. The Reform Movement, for instance, and the Conservative Reform Movement, and what are the Conservative Reform, all these other movements, they have conventions once a year where their so-called rabbis meet and they pass resolutions and they decide what the religion says. So it's a man-made religion from point go. They don't believe the Torah and the Tanakh. The Tanakh is the Bible. And the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. They do not believe that the Torah and the Tanakh are given to us by Hashem, by God. If it's not from God, and if you're going to make up your own rules, and if you can decide at your convention what the commandments are and what they aren't, and what you can obey and what you can disobey, then it's a man-made religion. Then it's a farce. Then it's a complete farce. So of course, all the Reform, Conservative, Reconstructionist temples are empty. Only old men and old women go there, if anybody goes there at all anymore. Most of them are just bingo parlors. What does that mean? They rent out these big buildings that were once built supposedly to have congregations. Nobody goes there anymore. Nobody goes there to pray anymore. Nobody goes there for any real purpose, religious purpose or spiritual purpose anymore. So they rent it out, in many cases, to organize crime, to have bingo games and gambling and other things going on there. They rent it out to the highest bidder. They have these giant buildings and they rent it out. The entire movement is just a colossal catastrophe to the Jewish people. And again, they want to do this to the Jews of Israel, God forbid. They have homosexual and lesbian so-called rabbis. They have homosexual and lesbian so-called marriages, even though in Judaism this is a toeva, this is an abomination, it says in the Torah. You're not allowed to do this in Judaism. It's diametrically opposed to everything the Torah stands for. They also have intermarriages between Jews and non-Jews, which is absolutely forbidden. You shall not give your children, your sons onto their daughters, or your daughters onto their sons. It's absolutely forbidden. And it guarantees the destruction of the Jewish people. They do everything that is against Judaism, everything that is evil. They support abortion. They support murdering Jewish babies through abortions. One thing after another, their positions on Israel, they are all anti-Israel. They take the worst positions at their conventions. They pass resolutions demanding that Israel commit national suicide, demanding that Israel go back to the pre-1967 suicide borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide, demanding that even Jerusalem, Israel's capital city, be handed over to the Muslim Nazi terrorist mass murderers. So they're anti-Israel, they're anti-Jewish, they push assimilation, they push every evil cause under the sun. Even when they're in countries like the United States, their agenda in the United States is an evil agenda as well. So this is the type of abomination that they want to bring to Israel. And who's leading the campaign to legitimize them? Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister. Naftali Bennett, who calls himself religious and claims to be religious from the so-called religious party, the Jewish Home Party. He is pushing to legitimize them. He has negotiations. He and Ayelet Shaked, the so-called justice minister of Israel, the injustice minister in reality. And by the way, Naftali Bennett is the so-called education minister, education. They educate Jewish kids in Israel to support the enemies of Israel, to be self-hating Jews, to feel guilty that they breathe, that they exist as Jews, and to and to and to suck up to every Muslim Nazi mass murderer. That's what they educate Jews to do in Israel. And he's the educator. And Naftali Bennett from a so-called religious party is the education minister. This is the government of Israel. Okay, the Jewish Home Party, the Likud, Shas, and the so-called Haredi parties, just as bad. Okay, they claim to be against this, but it's all just for show. They continue to support a government that legitimizes, a government that promotes all of this. They continue to sit in the government and have no problem with that as long as their corrupt institutions keep getting government money, keep getting taxpayer dollars. As long as they're being bribed and keep getting taxpayer dollars, they will allow the assimilationist, Erev Rav, so-called Jews in the government to destroy the whole Jewish people, God forbid. Now, I don't know if you've heard about the latest controversies, but they want to, for instance, enable the Reform to do conversions. They're allowing the Reform to do conversions. Reform could be, you know what Reform conversion is? I mean, you mail in $10 or you go to some deformed so-called rabbi and he supposedly converts you. Every African and his brother, okay, who want to get out of the hellhole of Africa and want to move to a modern, beautiful, magnificent country like Israel, of course they're all going to say, oh yes, I've converted, I've had a reformed or a deformed conversion. We call the Reform deformed. I've had a deformed conversion now, and then they can make Aliyah. Once they've had a deformed conversion, they can make Aliyah. That's the law in Israel today that the Netanyahus and the Bennets and the Liebermans have been pushing. By the way, Avigdor Lieberman, he represents the Russian Gentiles who are anti-Semites and who are coming to Israel also for economic reasons. Russian Gentiles have no connection to the Jewish people, actually hate the Jewish people. They come to Israel. They come to Israel because they want to escape Russia. Russia's collapsing economy. So we're going to have a situation here where millions of Africans and Russian Goyim and other people from third world countries are going to come flooding into Israel claiming they have a Reform conversion, saying, I'm Jewish, I got a Reform conversion. And that's going to be the end of the Jewish state. That's it. It's over if we allow this to happen. And Netanyahu and Bennett and Lieberman, they all support this. Lieberman, by the way, wants this because he wants to bring in more and more Russian Gentile voters, because that's the basis of his political party. It's called Israel is our home. It should be Siberia is our home. That's what they really stand for. Anyway, Lieberman, he was a puppet and a friend of Vladimir Putin and a puppet of Vladimir Putin. Anyway, the bottom line is all of these parties and all of these groups are betraying the Jewish people. You then have something called the Women of the Wall. The Women of the Wall are feminazi, deformed, so-called Jews who demand the right to pray in the men's section of the Western Wall. Now, why are men and women required to pray separately in Judaism? Because, let's talk about the men here for a moment. Judaism does not want a situation where when you're praying to God, I mean, in the time of day when you're praying to God, whether it's in a synagogue or at the Western Wall or somewhere else, when you're praying to God, you shouldn't have women. You should, if you're seeing all of these beautiful women in front of you, or if you see women in front of you, you're going to think other thoughts. You're not supposed to be thinking those types of thoughts when you're praying to God. When you're praying to God, you're supposed to be concentrating on your prayers to God. And Judaism knows, the Torah understands human nature and understands that if we allow mixed prayers, that the prayers are not going to be the type of concentrated, pure prayers that we should strive for. Of course, nobody is absolutely pure, absolutely perfect, but we should strive for that at least. Now, if you're going to be standing next to beautiful women and thinking, you know, thoughts go through your mind while you're praying, that's just that your prayers are not going to be good prayers, they're not going to be wholesome prayers. It's going to disrupt your prayers. Now, these lesbian, deformed, evil beast, so-called Jews, they're saying they want to go to the Western Wall and they want to pray in the men's section. They want to be able to pray wherever they want to pray. You can't separate and you can't do this and we're going to do what we want to do. You know, and these are people who don't want to pray at the Western Wall. They don't want anything to do with Judaism. They just want to destroy. They want to destroy Judaism because Judaism is righteous and they're evil. Because Judaism has principles and they have none. Because Judaism stands for something and they stand for nothing. They're low, vile, human sewage. The reformed, the conserved, the reconstructed, they're human sewage. Now, this is the type of struggle that we have in Israel now. Struggle for the hearts and souls of the Jews that live in Israel. And the implications of what's going to happen, HaMashiach, the Messiah, is going to come. That's going to happen. When he's going to come, I don't know, because I'm not Ani lo Navi ve Ani lo Ben Navi, we say in Hebrew, which means I'm not a prophet, I'm not the son of a prophet, so I can't tell you when he's going to come. But we are in that process, because the return of the Jews to the land of Israel is the beginning of the process, and it's almost the end of the 6,000 years on the Jewish calendar. 6,000 years on the Jewish calendar is pretty much the deadline for the coming of the Mashiach. And by the way, when we say the calendar, the Jewish calendar, so it's almost 6,000 years, it doesn't mean the world is 6,000 years old. What it means is that real meaningful history began almost 6,000 years ago. That's why the Jewish calendar begins at a time when people were ready to get the morals and the commands of God, when human beings had developed to a point where they were ready, where they were at a moral point, where they were ready to finally start accepting what God was commanding human beings to do. And this before even the creation of the Jewish people. So that's what the 6,000 years, that's what the Jewish calendar really means. Now, having said that, the Mashiach is going to come one way or the other. Mashiach is going to come either through our merit, if we do what's right, the Mashiach will come, and then the Mashiach will come very quickly. In fact, the Mashiach will come almost immediately. If the Jewish people really return to God now, the Mashiach would come almost immediately. And without pain and suffering, and gloriously and majestically, and all of our enemies would be destroyed. And the world would be a magnificent place for righteous Jews and righteous Gentiles, and we'd have eternal life. In the most beautiful circumstances that you can imagine. You can't imagine now because of limitations of body and mind and everything in this world. It'll be a whole new world with a whole new atmosphere that will be so magnificent and bring such happiness and joy to the people that are part of that experience. That's what can happen if the Jews return to God. But if they don't return to God, if they continue to be evil and continue to defy God, Mashiach will come anyway, because God promised Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Avotenu, our fathers, that he was going to redeem the Jewish people, and he promised the Jews in the Torah, all the prophets, all the Nevi'im. So we are going to have the Mashiach is going to come to the world. There is going to be final redemption. The Mashiach is going to come to the world. But if he comes despite the fact that people are evil, and if he comes in an evil generation, then he comes with tremendous suffering and pain and agony, and it's prolonged, and it's just a mess. So we want to avoid that situation. We're required to do everything we can to avoid that situation. And therefore, what are we doing? Well, we of course have a campaign with Hebrew Videos where we bring the truth to the Jews of Israel in a way that nobody else dares to speak the way I'm speaking to you now in Israel. Nobody dares to say the things that I'm saying. Nobody. Israel is actually much less of a free country than America is. Much fewer freedoms than America has. And America doesn't have all the freedoms that it should have. There are a lot of restrictions on free speech and a lot of politically correct garbage that go on in America as well. A lot of censorship and a lot of vicious, evil shutting down of free speech in America. But Israel is worse. Much worse. In Israel, just for speaking your mind and expressing your view, you can be put in prison. So, that's the situation in Israel. And we say things that no one else says. And many Israelis who hear the message find it a refreshing message. They love it. And we're reaching more and more people, far more people. So we have our video campaign. In addition to that, in the election campaign that will come, eventually there are going to be elections in Israel. And when there are, we don't know exactly, the government falls. It's not like every 4 years here, every 4 years for sure you have elections. In Israel, you can have elections every 4 years. You can have elections actually every 5 years. I think up to 5 years. I'm not sure exactly. I think it's up to 5 years is the limit. It might be 4.5 years. I'm not sure. But it's over four. I know you can have elections. The government can stay in power for over 4 years if it stays in power for its full term. Or the government can fall. If the government loses a majority in the Knesset, in the parliament, the government can fall. So you can have elections within 2 years. You can have elections in one year, even if the government falls. So we don't know for sure when the next elections are going to be. But when there are elections, we're supporting Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut party. Zehut means identity, because he stands for Jewish identity and Jewish rights. And so we support Moshe Feiglin, we support the Zehut party. But aside from that, we have our own campaign, which is, we tell much more of a stronger truth than Feiglin does, because Feiglin would be banned if he spoke like I do. But we tell a much stronger truth than Feiglin does, and it's necessary that somebody do that. It's necessary somebody tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to the people of Israel. And we are doing that. And thank God our videos are getting more pull than ever before, more views than ever before on YouTube. And it's because we have an advertising campaign, a paid advertising campaign. That's one of the reasons. We also get views even without the paid advertising, but we need paid advertising because they discriminate against us in the YouTube search engines and in the Google search engines. I mean, we're discriminated against. So we have to have an advertising campaign to publicize our message. Let me just give you 9 samples here of recent videos that were put up. When I say recent, I mean in the past several months. We have videos, by the way, I should tell you, we have videos that were put up years ago on YouTube, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago. We have videos like that as well. And some of those videos have tens of thousands of views. We have a number of videos on YouTube with tens of thousands of views. And in Israel, in a country of only 6 million Jews, tens of thousands of views is like millions of views for an English language video. These videos, though, are more recent. This is just nine videos that were put up all this year in the past several months. And here are 9 videos. Each of these videos, you can see on the bottom, it shows the number of views. And each of these 9 videos have anywhere between over 4,000. The one with the fewest views is over 4,000, and the one with the most has almost 10,000 views, if you notice on the bottom. So it has between 4,000 and almost 10,000 views, these 9 videos. Not bad. Not bad if you add those numbers up. In a country the size of Israel, those are actually substantial numbers. That means a pretty large segment of Israelis are beginning to see our message, are being exposed to our message. More and more Israelis are seeing this message. And that's very important. That's very, very important. And by the way, I've lost count. We have over 2,000 videos on YouTube now. I've lost count how many it is. It's definitely over 2,000, that's for sure. Some of our videos, you know, we put videos up on all different types of accounts all over the place. So some of our videos have as few as 12 views or 15 views or whatever. Some of our videos have very few views. Some of them have 100 views. Some of them have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. You know, we have all types. And then again, the older ones, some of the older ones have tens of thousands of views. So we've got the full range. I'm showing you 9 of the successful ones. Not all of our videos have been this successful in the past several months, because we put up a lot of them. I mean, we put up a number of videos every week. So not all of them have been this successful. But these are 9 that are examples of videos that are getting nice numbers of views and that show that we're reaching a lot of Israelis. I mean, even if this was in the English language, by the way, this number of views is not bad. It shows you have thousands of people coming to hear your message on video after video. Not bad. But in Hebrew, you have to remember, in Hebrew you got to increase these numbers like 50 times as much to reflect the size of Israel versus the size of the country like the United States. So we're reaching people and we're trying to bring them a message of truth. And I think we become a tremendous pain in the tuchus to the political parties in Israel. They are reacting. They do not like what we're doing and what we're saying. And they are reacting. I can see the reactions. I can see how certain things that we say get into the conversation. I see rabbis introducing language that only I or people in JTF have used. And all of a sudden it becomes part of the conversation of rabbis. Many Israeli Jews, on the phony right, are beginning to say now that there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party, for instance, they were never saying, that was not a major part of their campaign to say there are no Palestinians. They used the term Palestinian. And now, over and over, Feiglin, over and over again, will argue and debate with anyone on television, and he gets on television in Israel, and he gets into debates, and he says there's no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, and uses a lot of the facts that I think were popularized by our videos over the years. And the same is true, again, for a lot of rabbis. A lot of rabbis that do videos on YouTube and about the parashiyot, about the Torah portions every week, a lot of them introduce our material now. Parts of our material are getting into their videos. We're pushing people to the right. On Arut Sheva, for instance, they were automatically, slavishly accepting the fact that Netanyahu and Bennett were part of a government that was freezing all Jewish building in Judea and Samaria. Now they started a campaign saying, no, no, you must build. You promised, you got to keep your promise. You promised 5 years ago you're going to have 300 houses in Beit El. You've got to keep your promise, they're now saying. And they started a public campaign with demonstrations to protest. We played a big role in pushing them to do this. We played a big role because we were the only ones. We were attacking them for their cowardice. And I'm talking about the rabbis who were accepting this and who are getting out on their hands and knees and being silent and doing nothing about this. We played a big role, I think, in pushing them into action, because we're like a catalyst. We're like a catalyst that forces people to do things that they ordinarily wouldn't do. And the psychology is very simple. I mean, if you're a rabbi, or if you have something like Arut Sheva, which is a website in Hebrew and in English, and they had a radio station at one time, and they have a yeshiva, and they have a settlement in Beit El. If you're in that situation and somebody is doing videos attacking you and ridiculing you and saying what a wimp you are, what a galut-minded Jew you are, galut is the exile, you're a ghetto-minded Jew, you're a wimp, look what you did, you accepted promises from somebody, now he broke all his promises, he's spitting in your face and you're taking it and you're not doing anything and you're betraying your own people. You know, when somebody speaks like this about you, it has an impact. Even the Yesha Council, which is an evil organization that we've been condemning for a long time, it's a puppet of the government, and they betrayed the Jews in Gush Katif, and they always betray the Jews, they're complete frauds. Even the Yesha Council has started a campaign to pressure and push Netanyahu to allow building in Judea and Samaria again. They weren't doing anything, they were accepted, they enthusiastically supported Netanyahu and Bennett when they were running in the last election, even though for 7 years they froze all Jewish building and lied to the Jews over and over again and completely betrayed the Jewish people. And the Yesha Council enthusiastically supported them. And the Yesha Council is going to support them again in the next election. That's going to happen. But at least in the meantime, they have an advertising campaign and a public campaign with demonstrations to try to pressure them to allow building. How much good that will do in the end, I don't know how much of an impact it'll have, but again, it shows we're moving the ball, and since we're the only ones applying this type of pressure, since we're the only ones in doing this type of criticism, this is coming from us. So it's having an impact. It's not nearly as much as what we want. We want to change everything. We want to completely change the direction of Israel and have righteous people in charge of Israel. So this is nothing compared to what we would like to do, but at least we're accomplishing something, and we're obligated to do everything we can. We're obligated to do the best we can and everything we can and be a voice of truth. We're obligated to do that. And you're obligated to support us. You're going to be asked someday what you did to support us. Everybody exposed to this message will be asked, what did you do when all of these things were happening? What did you do? Because these are the issues that are important to God. and that are important to the redemption of the Jewish people and to the redemption of humanity. We need your help. We need your financial support. You can support us by sending checks, money orders, cash donations to our post office box, or by supporting us online through PayPal, through our PayPal account, which is on the which you'll find on the top of the Hebrew main page. The Hebrew main page is hayamin.org. We have a donate button on top. You can support us either online, or you can support us by sending us support through to our post office box. Doesn't matter. We need your support. The more support you send us, the more people we reach, the bigger those numbers that I showed you from those videos, the bigger those numbers are going to be, the more support you send us. If instead of reaching 10, now we're reaching every week, you add it all up, we're reaching tens of thousands of Jews now. Instead of reaching tens of thousands, we were reaching millions. If we were reaching millions, 100 times as many as what we're reaching now, then we would change Jewish history pretty quickly. Then we would be a huge factor in what happens in Israel, and we would change history dramatically. But in the meantime, we're a pain in the neck, and the more you support us, the stronger we are, the more people get the truth, and the stronger Israel is. The stronger JTF is, and the more people JTF reaches, the stronger Israel is in the end. When people know the truth and are exposed to the truth, it's harder to con them. It's harder to pull the wool over their eyes. So let's all do what we can to make a difference, as much of a difference as possible, because Israel is in grave danger with these types of leaders. Israel really is in grave danger. You see what they're trying to do spiritually to the Jewish people with the Reform Movement and all these other things. It's a horrible tragedy. So let's get involved. Let's work together. And with God's help, we can make this a better world if we fight together as a team. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.